Okay, I think my microphone is working. Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person and all of you who are joining us online. We have just a couple of announcements this morning. A reminder for those of you in the Agape Circle, you're meeting at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Wednesday, there are several things going on. The Senior Citizens Group meets at 10:30, and not only do we have a card writing ministry for those on our prayer list and our shut-ins, but we have been eating very, very well lately. So if you want a good potluck lunch, if you've been craving that, come on to the Senior Citizens Group. Also that evening is Worship and Music Committee. Pam Jackson reached out to me this week and asked to put Anne Marie Evans on our prayer list. That's former Pastor Evans' wife. She is in critical care right now. I don't exactly know what's going on, but she's asked her to be added to the prayer list. Unfortunately, the bulletin was already printed, but if you'll hold her in prayer. We have several birthdays this week. Marie Palmer, Bill Curry, Max Carrick, Hunter Hedrick, Jean Kepley, Neil Clark, Chip Blower, Lynn Dennis, and Brandon Everhart. And there are also several people remembering their baptisms this week: Sandra Vaughn, Boyd Queen, Johnny Turner, Scott Curry, Tim Everhart, and Bonnie Hedrick. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we do have a prayer shawl baby blanket to bless for baby Nelson, but we're going to do that during the children's sermon. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude.
Thank you.
stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the wellspring of grace, our Easter and our joy. Amen. Look, here is water. Immersed in the promises of baptism, let us give thanks for what God has done for us. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your voice thundered over the deep, and water became the essence of life. Adam and Eve beheld Eden's verdant rivers. Miriam led the dancing as your people passed through the Red Sea into freedom's land. In a desert pool, the Ethiopian official entered your boundless baptismal life. At the river, your beloved son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection, you opened the floodgates of your reconciling love, freeing us to live as Easter people. We rejoice with glad hearts, giving all honor and praise to you. Through the risen Christ, our source of living water, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Look, here is water.
Here is our water of life. Hallelujah.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Glory.
let us pray. Holy and righteous God, you are the author of life, and you adopt us to be your children. Fill us with your words of life, that we may live as witnesses to the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message, and maybe Anna can come too, and we'll bless Anna. I was hoping last week when I saw her that it would be the last time I saw her pregnant, but we'll say it again this week. I hope this is the last Sunday that I see you pregnant. Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Cameron. Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Anna. So did you all know that there is a baby in Anna's tummy? Did you know that? Over the last few months, God and Anna have been working together to grow a baby inside of her belly. And she has been taking good care of it, trying to get rest and feeding it. And it's been moving and reminding her that he is there. And so in just a few days, she's going to have her baby. And he will be here, and we're going to get to meet him and love on him. And he, before we know it, he'll be coming to the children's sermons, and he will go to children's church with you. But for today, maybe we can pray for Anna as she gets ready to have baby, and we can bless this prayer shawl, this baby blanket, that pretty soon he can be wrapped up in it and be cozy. All right. Will you get a little bit closer? Can we all squeeze in so we can touch the prayer shawl together? You want to help me touch it and we'll pray for it? Can you get closer? Yes. There we go. Will you pray with me? Can you reach here? Do you want to sit on my lap? No? Here, there we go. That's better. Thank you, Sawyer. Okay, let's pray. Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for each other.
And thank you for our church.
Thank you for baby Nelson,
who will be here before we know it.
Bless Anna
with strength
and courage
to birth him,
and help us
to celebrate with joy
when he is here.
Bless this blanket,
that when he is wrapped in it,
he will feel our love and care for him here
at Holly Grove Lutheran Church.
We love you, God.
Amen.
All right, you all may go to Children's Church with Susan, and we bless Anna, which will hopefully be the last Sunday she's preggers, and we're going to pass this around for you all to bless baby Nelson.
The New Testament lesson is from 1 Corinthians. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Word of God, word of life.
Thank you.
This is a longer gospel reading, and so I invite you to be seated. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now on that same day, Easter Sunday, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these last days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they came back, they did not find his body there. They came back and told us what they had indeed seen, a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's see how awake you all are this morning. Alleluia, Christ is risen. You did it. He's risen indeed. Well, lest you think that I've somehow gotten myself confused and disoriented about what day it is, I will remind you that it is still Easter in the church. Remember, for us, Easter isn't just a one-day celebration. It's a 50-day-long celebration in the church, because we have a different calendar. We have a different story to tell. We get to tell the story about God's love for us and for all people and for all of creation, and that in and through his death and resurrection, Jesus has defeated sin and death forever. And all things are being made new. So Easter is the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord, and one day just isn't enough to celebrate this mystery of faith. We need a whole season to ponder what it means for our lives and to explore all of its implications. So this season in the church calendar is called Eastertide. It lasts for 50 days, 8 Sundays, 7 weeks, which, if you'll think about it, that's longer than Lent, and I think that's really significant. The implications of Jesus' resurrection are so transformative and so life-changing that we need longer than one day to explore all of its meaning. So yes, it is still Easter for us. We are still saying Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. And there are other signs in worship that it is still Eastertide. We're saying a thanksgiving for baptism to open worship instead of confession of sin. We're saying the Nicene Creed. We still have our white and gold paraments up. The Paschal candle is lit, and we are still singing loud Easter hymns. We are still celebrating Christ's victory over death. And today we get to celebrate that victory with one of my very favorite stories in all of Scripture. Jesus making himself known to the two Emmaus travelers in the breaking of bread. This story is so rich. I could preach on it all 8 Sundays of Easter, and I still wouldn't have preached all the sermons that I want to preach on this text. I still wouldn't have enough time to tell you all the amazing things about this passage. Like how I wish I could show you the fascinating research that's been done that has led scholars to believe that the second traveler is actually Cleopas's wife. Oh, if we could only sit down for a couple of hours in a Bible study and walk through this passage word by word and phrase by phrase. I could tell you about the cool words that Luke uses and how they can be translated to help us more fully and deeply understand this passage. I'd show you what a masterful storyteller Luke is by showing you how their choice of words and images in this passage connect to so many other words and images elsewhere in Luke's gospel. We talk about how Luke, the only gospel to provide us with the nativity story, and the only gospel to provide us with this story, weaves beautifully so many thoughts and ideas and themes about Jesus and what it means to follow him in these profound verses. But alas, there's never enough time to preach all the sermons I want to preach, to teach all the Bible studies I want to teach, and to share with you all the things that I wish I could. And so for just a few more minutes, we'll look at this passage. So these verses take us back to the afternoon on the day of the resurrection. Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas are headed to Emmaus, and if we listen and look closely, we can hear the grief and despair in their voices. We can see the pain and the sadness in their eyes. When he said we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel, oh, I hear so much pain in that, because they had put their hope in Jesus. And even though these disciples aren't named anywhere else in the Gospels, they are very clearly Jesus' disciples. They had followed him throughout his earthly ministry. They believed him to be the Messiah. And 3 days prior to this conversation, he was brutally beaten and put to death by the religious leaders of his day. We had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Their hopes were shattered, right? They expected a different kind of Messiah, a different way for Jesus to be the Messiah. And him dying on a cross was nowhere in any of their expectations or hopes. And as they are making their way to Emmaus, their hearts must have been heavier than the stone that was rolled in front of Jesus' tomb. Things for them and the other disciples were dark and bleak. For 3 days, they had all been walking through the valley of the shadow of death, which can also be translated through the darkest of valleys. And what happens? Jesus came near. The text says that Jesus came near and he went with them. All throughout his ministry, Jesus came near to people. And he does it again after his resurrection too. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, through the darkest of valleys, you are with me. Jesus was with the Cleopases even when they didn't recognize it. Jesus came near. And on that 7-mile journey, they got to experience what I think we all dream of experiencing. Jesus interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. Oh, what a dream! He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Incredible. And if that wasn't enough, after they invite Jesus to stay with them, and when he was at the table with them, he took bread. He blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. We know this pattern well, and they did too. Because when Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, in that moment, their eyes were opened and they knew it was him. Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. This is so incredibly powerful and deeply beautiful. Jesus revealed himself to them in the breaking of bread, just like Jesus does for us. Every single time we come to his table and share this meal with him. In recent months, some of you have been asking me really, really good questions about communion. And so this summer, I'm going to do a sermon series on the sacrament of communion. Because the sacrament of communion is central to not only what we do in worship each week, it is absolutely central to who we are as God's people and how we are to live in the world. There are so many things I want to teach you and share with you, practical things and mystical things and rich theological things and beautiful and tender and deeply meaningful things. This meal is so powerful and so sacred that when the Cleopases shared it with Christ, their eyes were opened and they knew it was Jesus. So yes, the Cleopases were the first people to encounter the risen Christ in the breaking of bread, but they weren't the last, were they? Because still every time Jesus invites his people to his table to receive his body and blood in the wine and bread, we still encounter the risen Christ. We still encounter Christ at this table because for us, the bread and the wine aren't just bread and wine. In this meal, they become for us the very presence of Christ. When you receive the bread and the wine, you are literally holding Jesus in your hands. When you put the bread and the wine into your mouth, Jesus is entering into your body. And you get to taste and see that the Lord is good with your taste buds. We get to take into our bodies the presence of Jesus, which means that into your body goes the love of God. Into your body goes forgiveness. Into your body goes Jesus' goodness and grace and mercy. The truth of our faith and what we believe about Holy Communion means that you physically encounter the risen Christ every single time you come to this table and Jesus breaks bread with you. The presence of Jesus in the bread and wine doesn't just nourish us spiritually. It nourishes us physically as well. The table blessing we say every Sunday isn't just words. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that you receive in the bread and wine, they truly strengthen you, and they truly keep you in his grace. Brothers and sisters, just like Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas, that resurrection night, we encounter the risen Christ as Jesus reveals himself to us each Sunday in the breaking of bread. Jesus comes to us again and again and again and again. So you are invited to this table by Jesus to accept his invitation to encounter his presence every time you come. And every time you come, there is always more than enough room for you because Jesus' table has room for everyone. And you come because Jesus wants to feed you and meet you here. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Rejoicing that Jesus has risen and love has triumphed over death and fear, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need of good news. Ever-present God, you make yourself known in the breaking of the bread and in the bonds of community. Reveal yourself to us in the faces of all we meet. Strengthened by your body and blood, let us boldly live out your good news. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
As we know you in the breaking of the bread, we know you in the grains of the field and the flowing waters. Care for the earth you lovingly create. Strengthen those who safeguard threatened land and water. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You are the authority to whom we dedicate our lives. Help us keep the needs of those most vulnerable at the forefront of our community. Move us to care for any who disregarded or oppressed. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Mothering God, you feed and comfort those who hunger. Open the hearts of those who hoard resources and lead them to share your abundance. We pray for anyone hungering for your comforting presence this day, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Scott, Jim, Mike, Myra, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those who we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts.
Kendall, Elena, Brantley.
Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You pour out your love on those who are oppressed. Support and comfort anyone who is marginalized in any way and those whose stories are not believed. Form this community to listen faithfully and speak honestly in our ministry together. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We remember with thanksgiving all your beloved saints. As you have raised them to eternal life, abide with us in your promise of resurrection. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Into your hands, most merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abiding love. Through Jesus Christ, our resurrected and living Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to move around and share the peace of Christ with one another.
pray together. Generous God, in this meal you offer your very self. We give thanks for these gifts of the earth. In the breaking of the bread, reveal to us the risen one. In the pouring of this wine, pour us out in service to the world. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Lift
up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, with peace and love. Come, Holy Spirit. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The risen Christ is made known to us in the breaking of the bread. So come and eat at God's table.
Thank you.
Please stand for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and to serve the world in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let's say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Go in peace. Share the good news.